And we welcome you to the Fantasy Football Today podcast brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. And for a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBS Sports and use the offer code FUN, F-U-N. Almost time for Halloween. Very excited, Dave.
You know, normally it's a fun time at the Richard household for Halloween, but the in-laws are coming to town. No, not because of that. My son, who's 10, has decided not to dress up for Halloween this year.
I don't like that, Dave. You got to get in his ear. You got to convince him.
I'm not going to stop him. He's his own man.
Well, if he needs some inspiration for Halloween costumes, yesterday I asked our listeners for some before and after Halloween costumes, Wheel of Fortune style. You know?
Oh, okay.
And
well, you know, I speak Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dave, do people know this?
People know that I was on Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, Dave was a final. He got to the final round and missed it. But he did very well on Wheel of Fortune. So I asked for some before and afters. If you don't know what that is, you'll see a little bit later. We'll give those out. Also, you know, I love Halloween, like the movie, 1, 2, whatever. I've seen a bunch of them. I had never seen Halloween 3. Everybody had always told me it's horrible. So I finally watched some of it last night, like the last half hour.
How was it?
It is worse than people describe. It doesn't have Michael Myers. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Doesn't have Michael Myers. Has the most ridiculous premise ever. Actors I've never seen before. It's horrible.
So it's basically a horror film that they just called Halloween 3.
Yeah, it's got like the music, but it's about these weird masks that aren't even the Michael Myers masks, and how if people have them on during a commercial, they're all going to die. It's the weirdest thing. And it's terrible. Almost worth watching. It's so bad. Just to say you've seen
it. I do like movies like that.
Right, exactly. All right. Coming up today, we've got buy or sell, Carolina, New Orleans, some stats that I found interesting, schedule breakdowns. I looked at quarterbacks, tight ends, and running backs, and who has favorable matchups in the fantasy playoffs. Well, I looked at weeks 13 through 16, so that's usually like the end of the regular season, and then the playoffs. And found some interesting stuff, and we'll get to that. And your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Stat of the day number one, Dave.
Yes.
Peyton Manning is 8-11 in games when the temperature is under 40 degrees at kickoff.
He's
also 3-8 against the Patriots during the regular season.
That's probably a better stat.
Well, it is very potentially going to be snowing under 40 degrees in Foxborough.
Snowing?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's possible.
You know my theory on weather. I'm not worrying about it until about 15 minutes before kickoff.
But if it is snowing or supposed to, that's a 4 o'clock game, right? So I mean, would you downgrade Peyton Manning?
Depends on just how snowy it is. Are we talking about, you know, a whimsical dropping of snowflakes
on
the ground? Or are we talking about a full on, you know,
snow showers?
Blizzard.
I'm looking at weather.com, and on Sunday, November 2nd, the high is 49 in Foxborough. The low is 20. The high is 44. The low is 29. They expect AM rain and snow showers and wind.
What kind of wind?
I don't know.
A mighty wind?
Well, okay. Just want to bring it up. It's kind of interesting. Stat of the day number two.
Ask me about it on Sunday.
As we get ready for, I will, Carolina, New Orleans on Thursday. Did you know the Saints have only allowed one tight end touchdown all year?
And Greg Olsen's track record against them is bad.
Yeah, the Saints are number 7 in fantasy points allowed, I believe. Well, they're definitely top 7. In fact, oh, you know what? They might be number 2. What I know is Greg Olsen, the next 5 opponents he faces are all in the top 7 against tight ends. And he was bad last week. So do you think he rebounds this week?
No. I think he does better than he did last week. But I don't think he goes out and has a monster game. But it doesn't matter what I say, because you're going to start Greg Olsen in most cases anyway. There's only a handful of tight ends that you'll feel comfortable starting.
Well, you have Larry Donnell over him.
Yeah, I would go with Donnell.
And Kelsey. And Dwayne
Kelsey.
Allen.
I love Kelsey this week. Love him. It's probably going to be my tight end in FanDuel.
All right. When Jamie gets in, we'll break that game down. Email of the day number one comes from Alex from?
Alexandria, Virginia.
Who has a better value rest of season, Brandon Cooks or Michael Floyd?
I think it's going to be Floyd still. You know, we're going to have to wait and see just how much he practices this week. Is he hurt? Is he okay? Is he trying to play through something? I think he tried to play through something last week. I think that was the reason why there were so many targets for Brown and for Fitzgerald and not for Floyd. He got hurt in that game, continued to play, and just didn't do anything. Barely got targeted in the game. I don't think that was schematic. I don't think that's because of how the defense played him. I just think it's because he got hurt. So I'm interested to see if he's on the injury report this week.
Email of the day number two is from Travis. And where is he from? Travisburg, Virginia?
No. Travis is from Tottenham, England.
Dear Vic, Shane, and Lem, pretty much guaranteed to get on the show with a Shield reference, people. I am 2-6 in a keeper league. I'm done for in this league for 2014, so I'm starting to look towards next year. Who are some guys that you would suggest to pick up or trade for? Sorry, I can't read today. That might be had cheap this year, but could be a stud next year, like Carlos Hyde or Kristen Michael.
Yeah, the first thing you do is just go back to the NFL draft results and start looking at the names there to get some ideas. But Carlos Hyde, Kristen Michael, definitely two names that are right at the top of the list. I wonder if Bishop Sankey could be had for cheap. Not that he's going to be the guy in Tennessee next year, but I just wonder if he'll be that guy. And then we saw, how many rookie receivers have we seen do well this season? But we saw Devontae Adams have some good moments. I think he'll be a starter eventually in Green Bay. Or he is now. I think he'll continue to be.
Dante Moncrief is 2%.
He's got to be owned in a keeper league, but if he's not, get him.
And let's talk about
it. Because that's a guy starting in Indianapolis for a long time.
You're right. Next year, Wayne probably gone. Nick's gone.
Nick's definitely gone. Wayne, it'll depend on how the teams really feel about him and now, whether or not he wants to play.
Dave, here's one thing that kind of concerns me with running backs. I feel like we see a lot of situations where we expect a running back to have a big role next year in a certain spot, and then the team goes out and they add another running back or they draft another running back, and in many, many cases it seems to get cloudier in backfields. I can think of Jordan Todman, not that he's...
That's who you're going to?
Well, I was just thinking, he could be the starter next year in Jacksonville, and then they bring in Toby Gerhardt, you know, stuff like that. Had a Latavius Murray, maybe. We thought maybe he'd have value. Like, if you'd asked this question last year, who were some of the
Lattimore
guys you would have
was
said?
A name we were crazy
Lattimore,
about.
That's exactly.
So let's use him as the example. We were assuming that the full offseason would get Lattimore back up to speed, pun intended, and that he'd be, you know, ready to roll. And then they drafted Carlos Hyde. And now we're kind of on the Hyde bandwagon, although we might see Lattimore play before the end of the season, which is very exciting. That's the problem with trying to pick up players now for 2015. A lot can happen between now and then. But I feel real good about Michael being that guy for Seattle. It's pretty much a lock that Marshawn will be back next year.
What about Hyde?
I feel great about Hyde in San Francisco. He's gotten off to a great start. I've got no reason to believe that they're going to look at another running back in round two or round three and say, okay, we're going to use him and not use Hyde.
Email of the day number three is from John.
That's nice.
All right, fine. I wouldn't even ask for it.
Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
Why so low on Percy Harvin, he says. It seemed like the consensus was to hold and see how things looked with the new team. In his first game, he only played about 50% of the snaps expected, but was targeted 9 times and got 4 carries. That's an extremely high usage in his first game with the Jets, and I would only imagine Michael Vick helps Percy Harvin. So what gives with all the pessimism?
He's averaging 6.2 yards per catch on the season. That includes his time in Seattle. Certainly did about that last week. He's on the Jets, which is a problem.
Yeah,
and
but
I think defense is key in on him. I think they know when, they obviously know when he's on the field, and they know that they've got to keep an eye on him.
But I don't see how anything, like, if you felt that way a week ago, fine. But I don't think anything should change for the negative.
Well,
based on one game with the
Jets. Did you hear me singing his praises last week?
No.
Okay.
I don't really remember what you said.
I didn't want him.
You didn't like him to begin with, right?
I didn't like him to begin with. Because on top of everything else, on top of all the locker room issues and the lack of production, he's injury prone.
So is he droppable?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was droppable last week for me.
Tweet of the day is from Cam Stedford. Is there a DST in the fantasy playoffs with a better schedule than the New York Giants? Hashtag pick 'em up. At Jacksonville in week 13, at Tennessee in week 14, Washington in week 15, and St. Louis in week 16.
Well, who's playing for them? What's their defense look like that
right.
point of the
That's
year?
The
and are they still going to be – they've got great matchups, but it doesn't necessarily mean that defense is going to be good.
No,
I don't like starting DSTs that don't have a good D. They have a good secondary, but I'm worried about their run defense. We know Beast is out for the year, and I don't know if he was really that good when he played for much of this year.
He got hurt again. Everybody's hurt.
Right.
Let's do some injuries, news, and notes presented by Squarespace. Rashad Jennings not looking good for this week.
Another banged-up Giant.
As they face Indianapolis on Monday night. Tony Romo may not play, Dave, due to his back injury. That's according to ESPN Radio.
Yeah, there's lots of pessimism coming out. There was a report from Ed Werder this morning saying that there's some caution there. And I wonder if it's Dallas just trying to be smart and recognizing that they've got a pretty good record. They're in a good division. Maybe they can get by with Brandon Weeden for a week. Or maybe it's really that Tony Romo's in just such bad shape.
And, well, it's got to be that because they're tied for first place. It's not like they're running away with it.
You're right, but you've got to – you're right.
And they can't win that game without Romo, you know. That's going to be a tough one, Arizona. Calvin Johnson is
losing
to play
Justin Durant's
week.
Really going to hurt that D. He was very good.
Calvin expects to play next week. They're on a bye this week. Tampa Bay made a couple of trades, Dave.
Uh-huh.
They traded a first-round pick, Mark Barron. I think he was, the seventh pick in the draft?
They took him ahead of Luke Kuechly.
Ooh. They gave him to St. Louis for a fourth and a sixth rounder, and they also traded linebacker Jonathan Casillas to New England.
I liked Barron when he came out. I thought he'd be a good defensive back for fantasy leagues, and I think he was for a little while. But Tampa's got to do what they've got to do. They've got to start rebuilding.
And Darren Sproles expects to play this week. But Philadelphia lost right guard Todd Harriman's. Now, we don't know about his status. He tore his bicep.
He's going to try and play this week. That's going to be
crazy.
Weird. And I'm supposed to love Nick Foles because it's a great matchup, and Houston's been so bad against the pass. But I think he's going to have a lot of pressure in his face from J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney and Whitney Mercilus. That Texans front seven is coming around.
Kelvin Benjamin told ESPN.com that he purposely ran a slow 40 time so he would fall in the draft and get drafted by Carolina.
Does that make sense to you?
Not well. It's kind of interesting. It's like, yeah, why would you want to be a high draft pick if you're going to go to a crappy team? The money's not so much different these days. So.
Money's money, though.
Yeah.
And what if he could have been a top 10 pick if he had run faster? First of all, the combine's overrated to begin with. That's not what teams use to determine good players from bad players from terrible players.
No, but if a wide receiver runs a 4.6 at the combine, that's going to obviously raise some red flags.
Well, the proper scouts and personnel people are just going to go back and rewatch the games and wonder what happened. There's been plenty of good football players that ran bad times in the 40, and plenty of terrible football players that ran great times in the 40. 40 doesn't mean as much as you think it does.
I hope you're not addressing that at me.
You could probably run the 40 faster than I can.
Right, and I would take me over you in a football game.
I don't know.
If we were playing flag football or even tackle football.
Really?
Well, we're not going to play the same position, so who's going to be more valuable? I'm not bad.
I'm protecting the quarterback. What position do you even play?
Wide receiver.
How tall are you?
6'3".
No, you're not.
5'9". Look, we're playing against people that
5'10
are, you know,
when your hair is long.
5'9.5". We're playing against, you know, 5'11 average, we're talking here, with my friends.
Can you play defensive back?
Yeah.
Can you punt?
I was a high school soccer goalie, so yes, I can. I was a backup goalie, so not very well. Pierre Thomas and Kyrie Robinson missed practice yesterday.
They're not going to play. I'd be stunned if Kyrie Robinson played. D'Angelo's going to play. I still like Jonathan Stewart better.
And Green Bay feels that Aaron Rodgers will play next week.
Yeah.
Do you expect Alex Smith against the Jets?
Yep.
Jordan Cameron against Tampa Bay?
No.
Giovanni Bernard against Jacksonville?
As of now, Wednesday morning before they practice, yes.
Owen Daniels at Pittsburgh?
As of now, no.
AJ Green against Jacksonville?
As of now, yes, but that could change. You've got to keep an eye on the news.
Doug Martin at Cleveland?
No.
Reggie Wayne at the Giants on Monday?
Yes.
All right. A reminder, today's podcast brought to you by Squarespace. You know about Squarespace. Go there now. Make your website. It's easy and it's awesome. Or your online portfolio. And Squarespace is always getting better and it's always getting easier to use. And the customer support is available to you 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. Oh, and by the way, $8 a month if you sign up now. It includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So get on Squarespace now and make it happen. And every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience to match the style of your website. It's going to look great on every device every time. You can start a free trial without a credit card. Start building your website today and use the offer code FUN. You'll get 10% off and you'll show your support for our podcast just like Squarespace is doing. That's Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. As Jamie Eisberg enters the building, Hi.
Hi.
Technically, Jamie's right? already entered yeah. the building.
Sick?
No.
All right.
You?
No. Sounded like you're a little froggy in your throat.
No.
I've got some Halloween costume ideas, before and after Halloween costume ideas. So do you want to explain before and after?
Right. There's a type of puzzle on Wheel of Fortune called before and after where they basically take two things that have a word in common and they make it into one thing.
Right. For example.
Adam's hairy arm rest.
Right.
Right. So arm rest is one thing and Adam's hairy arm is another. So there's a before and after.
So here are the tweets that I got that I thought were worth sharing from not David Moulton. Dave Richard Simmons. Jenna Jameson Eisenberg. Which is pretty good. We all know who Jenna Jameson is.
Who's it?
You know. I see the look on your face. You know very well. And Gomez Adam Azer. It's Adam's family guy, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Pete Farmer says Jamie Einsteinberg. That's not really before and after. It's kind of cheating. But Pete tried really hard, so I got him on there. James Harkness says Jason Priestley. You wear a hockey mask and a priest collar.
Interesting.
Okay. I like that one. It didn't have to be football related, by the way. A lot of people did football, like Nick Hollenbeck. Three girls in Russell Wilson jerseys. Russell Wilson Phillips.
Uh-huh.
That's funny.
I like that. From The Real Nine, Lawrence Taylor Swift.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
From the Twitter handle that I don't know why I keep including in the show because I hate saying it, at I Sit When I Pee. Greg Olson Twins.
That's good.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Get a couple wigs there.
You can kind of figure out how these costumes would look.
How would this one look? From Nick Smith. Cracklin' Oat Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Be the worst tasting boy. Costume ever.
Yeah.
The worst tasting
it
Dracula.
It would suck. Oh, real laugh.
That was good.
JD says Tyrannosaurus Rex Ryan. I like that one. Mm-hmm. This one would be fun from Derek Myers. Ron Jeremy Macklin.
That's good.
So we have a theme going with today's podcast, I see.
Port Star, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, that people I've never heard of. Tyler Wilhite, Goldie Han Solo.
Uh-huh.
Derek Wood, Oscar the Groucho Marx. For you Game of Thrones fans, from Meredith Kyle. Roddy White Walkers.
That's
I like
good.
That. From JD, Beauty and the Beast Mode. And then from John, this one, very creative, very thorough. Katy Perry, Mason Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. That's pretty intricate.
I can't picture that.
Yeah, neither can I. All right, buy or sell from Mid-Major Matt. Buy or sell, Carson Palmer is a top 10 quarterback rest of season.
I think you have to buy it. Look at how he's done. Has he even had a bad game yet?
No.
What's his worst game? 20 fantasy points?
Was Oakland.
20.
20.
Yep.
He is based on weekly scoring, which you can see if you go to the stats page. It's one of the options you can sort by. Number 6 right now. And it accounts for games he missed.
It's his average.
And
that's
a buy.
Based on average.
Yeah, I said yeah. Average weekly, average scoring per week. Mm-hmm. He's number 6. Derek Boliek, buy or sell, T.Y. Hilton and Emmanuel Sanders will both be top 12 wide receivers rest of season.
I'll buy that too, especially with Hilton.
Like, will they be top 12 or they'll finish top 12?
Be top 12. Season starts today.
Yeah.
I think you have to buy it.
The targets are there for Hilton. That's really encouraging too, because there were some games last year where he didn't get a lot of targets.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been used in a variety of ways, which has helped, and the fact that he's not the solo act.
He's just straight up
breaking
out.
Last year it was him. Who I don't even remember who their second guy was at times. Hayward Bay, right, was their second guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, think about what that's like. Now he's got Reggie Wayne, obviously, for the majority of the season. Hakeem Nicks is there. Dwayne Allen's there. Oh, Fleener, I guess, was there too last year, but there's just other options, and Andrew Luck has flourished. So is Hilton.
And Andrew Luck is throwing the most pass attempts in the NFL this year, which is way up from last year. Colin Dinney, buy or sell, Mark Ingram as a top 15 running back rest of season.
I don't know if he's going to be top 15, but I would say top 20.
I'll say he's top 15. I'll put him up there because I don't think Kyrie Robinson cuts in, and I don't know how much Pierre Thomas cuts into what he does. Well, he's too good of a weapon for them.
There are going to be games, though, where they're throwing more than they're leading.
But even last week, I mean, Drew Brees threw a lot, and Ingram was incredible.
Yeah, but he
I
was
look
still
up where
doing
Ingram
a lot
was.
Of second half running. He's great. If you're looking for his average,
yeah, I think he might be
he's
top
great.
Five.
Every he game he's had 11 healthy. Or more carries, that's he's had thing. Big fantasy points.
Weekly or scoring.
Good fantasy points.
Yeah, he is fifth. Foster Murray, he's fourth. Foster Murray, Forte Ingram.
It's funny, the trainer that I see regularly in the offseason, who trains a lot of these NFL guys, having such a great year.
Yeah.
Tony Villani. Andre Ellington's one of his guys. Mark Ingram's one of his guys. Trey Mason's one of his
Does
guys.
Does he train on-air host types?
He would, sure.
He would.
All right, well,
I want to go up there and work out with
you
guys.
You guys could use it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, because that's not my thing. Eric Jackson, buy or sell. Halloween is overrated.
I get Halloween. I don't think it's overrated.
All right.
It's we overrated. Sell
it. I don't participate.
So then you think
But I get into the spirit
what?
Of it.
And
no,
you think it's
I don't put on a costume.
Oh, well, you will this week.
I will this week, but I will for the good of the show. But it's not like I'm going to go home and wear a costume. But I like I like giving out candy. Come
what
on over
you
to
just
the Richard
wore a
house.
Halloween costume, like I don't know, a couple times a month. Just go home and dress up.
I'm a duck.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Jay, buy or sell. Golden Tate remains a must start when Calvin Johnson's back.
Bye.
I think it'll be matchup dependent to a degree. But I think he'll still be a top 20-ish receiver.
Check out this playoff schedule for
It's great.
Detroit.
Detroit's schedule is so good.
Weeks 13 through 16. Chicago twice in 13 and 16.
In Chicago in week 16, though.
Yeah.
Hopefully that the weather won't be a factor.
Tampa Bay surface. At home in week 14. Minnesota at home in week 15. So actually, Chicago, Tampa Bay, and Minnesota all at home and then at Chicago. They have a great... I mean, if you want to buy low on Matthew Stafford, there are multiple
Clock's
reasons.
Clock's ticking.
Including that one.
Clock is ticking.
Let's see. From Pete Farmer. Buy or sell, Ahmad Bradshaw will outperform LeSean McCoy rest of season.
So?
Because you're worried about Bradshaw staying healthy.
No,
and you think
McCoy
bounces back.
Well.
I want that line to get healthier, and it's just not happening in Philadelphia. But I'm still saying sell.
Mario Robinson. Buy or sell, Charles Sims will be an RB1 by playoff time.
I'll sell it. As excited as I am about him. That's another team with offensive line issues and defensive issues that could take the ball out of his hands. RB1 is too high. RB2 I could buy into.
All right, let's go last one here. Dave Hallahan. RG3's return will help Alfred Morris regain top-tier running back status. Buy or sell. It's kind of interesting, actually. ESPN had a good graphic on how much better Morris is with RG3.
Is that over his career or is that based on last year or this year? Because his rookie year was the zone read, and RG3 was running like crazy, and that was a big
I don't know what it was,
Alf had
Dave.
A big year.
I think it was his career, but I'm not
right,
sure.
Right, so then if you throw out the rookie year and then you tell me what the numbers are,
running backs
I'll
tend
be
to play better with running quarterbacks.
Well, let's look at what he did last year in the last three games of the season. Is that fair? Because those are all Cousins starts, right?
Sure.
Okay. Alfred Morris, last three games, 18 for 98. 24 for 88 and a touchdown, and 16 for 62.
Who was calling the plays?
A different guy.
Right. A guy who won't necessarily give Alfred Morris all that work.
Well, week one, he was decent.
All right, well, buy or sell?
Yeah, buy.
Top-tier RB status? I don't buy it.
Any semblance of a passing game is going to help Alfred Morris.
Yeah, but is he top-tier? He still never catches the ball.
Right. That's why.
If he's getting you the 88 and the touchdown, do you consider that top tier numbers?
Sure.
Yeah, but
is that
but
every,
he
is
only
that
did that in
every
one
week?
Of the three games.
That was without him.
That was without him.
Yeah, but I mean, he was getting 18, 24, and 16 carries in those games.
And they were against who?
They were against Atlanta, terrible. Dallas, horrible. And the Giants.
And the Giants was the last one.
Yeah.
Which was his worst one.
Yeah. And the Giants were very good against
So the first one, he just missed a touchdown, right?
Yeah. He had a good game. He had 5.4 yards per carry.
If you get 80-plus rushing yards from running back, today's NFL, it's a good game. If you get an 80 and a touchdown, fantasy-wise, it's a great game.
But if you get 80-plus running backs from a running... if you Sorry, 80-plus yards rushing from a running back who you're lucky if he catches two passes,
no,
that kind of hurts. You know what I mean?
I get it, but I'll just go back, just because I know off the top of my head. So Justin Forsett, when he was our start of the week, had 23 carries for 90-some-odd yards. He was still a top 24 guy. Now,
that's not top tier.
I understand that. But that's Justin Forsett where you got him. Now, if it's Alfred Morris and he's getting you that consistently... and then every other game is a touchdown, 90 and a touchdown, 80 and a touchdown. That's top tier.
That's not top tier to me. That top tier, I mean, that's not even top 12. That might be top 12.
That's top 12.
I Well, our definitions are different because that's not a top tier running back.
I don't think he's a top tier.
I don't think he ever was a top tier in my definition.
No, he was a round two, round three-ish running back.
Where would you take, like, let's say RG3 plays starting next week and we were drafting today. Where would you take RG3? Or, excuse me, Alfred Morris.
I would take him in the end of round three, beginning of round four.
That's not even close to top tier.
Well, no, it's close.
It's still you're talking about top 12 running back. I would consider that to be top tier. Is he of the elite guys? No, but.
All right. Semantics.
I think we're probably just going to hung up on the word.
Yeah, I think so. Carolina at New Orleans. No, New Orleans at
Carolina.
And we
know my definition of where players classify is unquestioned.
New Orleans at Carolina on Thursday night.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah. Drew Brees, still not in your top five. Number six for Jamie, number seven for Dave. Coming off his best game, 30 fantasy points.
It's outdoors. That's the problem, is which Drew Brees shows up. I'm more worried about Cam. I have a feeling he's going to have a big game.
That's interesting.
Cam is going to have a big game.
It's one of those things that just is like sticking in the back of my mind that every time we doubt him, it's just such a good matchup.
It's a good matchup, but what's his offensive line?
I agree.
Like?
Look,
that line could be loaded with second team.
When you line it up and you say, okay, he has this going for him, I don't know so much. He has this going for him, well, I don't know so much. But it's just something, you know, he's just one of those guys that I could just see us downgrading him and he comes out and plays well.
He obviously has huge upside. We saw it in the Cincinnati game, but that's really been the only game where you've been happy with his performance.
Right. He was barely good in week two against Detroit.
I feel good enough about Cam to start him if I don't want to make a roster move to get another quarterback or if I don't have somebody who's just a slam dunk better than Cam.
Right.
But he's not in my top 12. I don't think he'll finish as a top 12 quarterback.
There's three quarterbacks that make me nervous. Cam is one. Rivers is actually one. Because the East Coast to West Coast to East Coast, 1 o'clock start. He didn't play well against the Dolphins last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dolphins, look, they did a great job against Brady in week one. Say what you want about Brady at that point, but they did a good job. They did a great job against Cutler and the Bears 2 weeks ago. And prior to the fourth quarter against Aaron Rodgers, they did a good job against Aaron Rodgers. The one thing that stands out, I know I'm getting completely off track here, but the one thing that stands out is Gates could have a very big game. And that could still boost Rivers' numbers. But he scares me.
You're taking Rivers over Cam?
Yeah. And then Romo scares me.
Well, Romo might not play, so you don't have to worry about him.
Just to give you an idea. Where we are comparably to everybody else on Cam Newton and Fantasy Pros. You and I are dead last.
Uh-huh.
We both have him ranked 15 out of, I don't know how many people are here. Just to give you a comparison, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10 people from other sites, some reputable, some I've never heard of before, have Cam as a top 5 quarterback.
I don't get it. I guess I see it because New Orleans is not a very good defensive team, but looking at who the guys you have in front of them, the only player I could see starting Cam over is the guy you have 14th, and that's Ryan Tannehill. You know, like I get that, but maybe Andy Dalton because he hasn't been that good, but if AJ Green plays, you're definitely starting
Dalton against Jacksonville.
You know, you're going to start him over Roethlisberger at this point? Hell no.
Think about what the Saints did last week defensively. And, you know, sure, home field advantage and all that stuff helping them out against a good Packers offense. They took away Aaron Rodgers' best receiver. They could conceivably do the same thing with Kelvin Benjamin, although Benjamin was double covered a lot against Seattle with Richard Sherman covering him, and he still made plays.
Honestly, so that might be part of the reason. New Orleans can't cover anyone. Like, I know they did a good job against Jordy Nelson,
but they discouraged Rodgers from throwing at Jordy.
Well, look,
Rodgers has other guys to do a good job
against Cam last year. And I know it's a different Saints defense, but they did a very good job against, you know, containing him.
All right, let's get into other players here. Mark Ingram, number 7 for Jamie, number 5 for Dave in standard, number 14 for Jamie, number 10 for Dave in PPR.
My only concern with him is, did he have too much work for a short week? For a guy that was coming off, you know, not playing very much the last few weeks because of the injury.
Yeah, there are two examples of that. Rashad Jennings, bad, but Arian Foster, great. On a Thursday, coming off a huge workload.
That was a huge workload, or that was the game where he was banged up?
I think it was a huge workload because I think I was worried about Foster. I'll double check. I was worried about him. I even mentioned the Rashad Jennings game. Will he scale it back? When doesn't he have a huge workload, by the way?
Right, exactly.
Well, it was the Bills game, right?
Who did they play on the short week? They played Indianapolis. Yeah, he had come off 23 carries for 157 yards against Dallas on Sunday and then had 143 total yards and 2 touchdowns on Thursday.
When's the last time Ingram even had 24 carries in a game? That might be a career high for him. I'm checking.
That's my one concern with him is that does he get gassed a little bit?
All right.
Here, just for Cam real quick, three quarterbacks have been above 20 fantasy points against New Orleans. Can you name them?
Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. But it was ugly for Rodgers.
The thing is,
did Glennon get there?
They played such terrible teams.
Bucks scored 31 points and Glennon didn't get to 20?
19.
Matt Ryan, obviously, week
Ryan
one.
Ryan was one. Uh-huh.
And Romo.
Rodgers was two. Romo was three.
So the good quarterbacks have done fine against him, but Cam isn't.
Are you saying
very
that Brian Hoyer's not good?
That's what I'm saying. we got to speed things up here. So you're starting Ingram, but what about Travaris Cadet?
I think PPR is number two for this week.
Shouldn't be any worse than what he was last week.
Yeah, and flex.
Who do you like better in PPR, Ingram or Vereen?
Ingram.
I think Ingram's got a better chance to get you the 6 points from a touchdown.
How do you approach the New Orleans wide receivers?
I wouldn't. Cooks is okay. But he's very boomer bust. He's very much like DeSean Jackson. Colson, terrible track record at Carolina. Last time he had a good game on grass was October of 2012.
Wow.
And he's played a bunch. So it's not like they haven't played outdoors on grass. I'm concerned about Colson. Don't feel good about starting him. Cooks, I'd rather take the chance on. Stills, I don't want to trust.
Jimmy Graham, top three tight end.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and trust him.
Yeah, well, Carolina's good against tight ends.
They haven't faced anybody.
Jimmy Graham.
They faced Martellus Bennett. That's it.
And they did well against them.
They did.
Yeah.
But everybody else has been a ham and egger.
Can you trust any Carolina running backs as New Orleans is just... I mean, they actually don't give up a lot of yards, but they give up touchdowns.
I wouldn't mind Stewart as a flex.
Over D'Angelo, who's starting?
Yeah, I don't care that he's starting. I don't know how healthy he is.
And I think Stewart will play more on passing downs.
Right.
Which has been bad for Saints.
Would you go with Bobby Rainey? I guess we have to see what happens today with Doug Martin.
Well, let's assume Doug Martin's out.
Well, then it's probably easy, right? Then you go Rainey over those guys?
Yeah.
Let's say Doug Martin's in. Would you go Doug Martin or Jonathan Stewart?
I have no reason to start Doug Martin ever.
I got no reason to start Jonathan Stewart ever.
Well, he played pretty well last week.
Does he ever score, though?
Occasionally.
He scored against the Lions.
Yeah, okay. But now there's D'Angelo's back.
D'Angelo never scored.
Yeah, he's not the goal line guy.
I mean, Carolina running backs, like, since Cam, I just feel like they suck every year.
They're just annoying.
The one thing that's been annoying, which is out of the picture right now, is Tolbert has been the one that steals all the touchdowns.
Man.
So, bigger back of the two is Stewart.
All right, and Kelvin Benjamin, you guys like top 10 standard, top 15 PPR.
I'm nervous having him that high, but again, you look at the matchup, and Cam's going to throw to him no matter what. It's been clear. So, I think you have to use him.
And Dave already talked about Greg Olsen, who he likes, but not that much this week. He would start Dwayne Allen over him. He would start Larry Donnell over him. You're a little higher, Jamie, on Greg Olsen.
Well, I think if Cam is going to have success, that's the guy he has to rely on.
Okay. So I did my schedule breakdown this morning.
Is that the end of the Thursday night preview?
Sure is.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
All right. Quarterbacks with good matchups in weeks 13 through 16. I looked at the worst... It's really, I mean, kind of subjective, but I looked at the bottom eight teams in terms of fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, and I circled them in this little schedule grid, and I put stars next to teams that play multiple opponents that rank at the bottom eight in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. Those teams are Carolina, who faces New Orleans in week... Well, I'm not going to get into the matchup, so it'll just take too long. But New Orleans seems to have a good matchup. Or Carolina, excuse me, has good matchups. Dallas, Tony Romo faces Philadelphia, Chicago, and Philadelphia.
Brandon Whedon.
I like that you just said I'm not going to get into the matchups, and then you immediately
only for the really good ones. Only for the really good ones. Philadelphia, Chicago, and at Philadelphia in weeks 13 through 15, but two of them are on the road. Detroit, we talked about, really good weeks 13 through 16. Minnesota, whatever. New Orleans, good ones, and Washington. St. Louis in week 14, Philadelphia in week 16. So, again, Carolina, Dallas, Detroit, Minnesota, New Orleans, and Washington. So I think the big message here is buy low on Teddy Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
I'm just kidding. I'm just joking, guys. It's a joke. All right, anything you want to say about those teams and those matchups?
They're good.
Would you like to take a look?
Sure.
Should
you didn't even care about week owners, 17, huh?
No. Should fantasy owners trade for Tony Romo?
You can't now.
Yeah.
Oh, you could. The value will be good, especially if it really comes out that he's ruled out this week. And that could put some fantasy owners in a real pickle because they might have had Romo as their starter and they might not have somebody behind him. And they're going to have to make a trade. And if you're an owner that's got two good quarterbacks, you can trade one of those two for Romo, and you can wait for Romo.
But if you have two good quarterbacks, why would you trade for another one?
Because you would get Romo. You would conceivably upgrade from like Eli Manning to Tony Romo.
But you're saying you have two quarterbacks, though.
Right. So let's just say I have Eli Manning and Russell Wilson, and I just want to improve on one of them and just carry two for the rest of the way. Eli straight up for Romo. There's people that want to have two for the rest of the way, and then they can play the matchups. And then when they get to this late season schedule, they can go with Romo, who's got a great schedule, versus Seattle, that's got one good game in their last four.
Okay, how about running backs? Looking at teams that face multiple opponents that rank in the bottom eight in fantasy points allowed to running backs. Cleveland, weeks 15 and 16. Green Bay, New England week 13, Atlanta week 14, Buffalo week 15 on the road. That could be tough. And at Tampa Bay in week 16. Yeah, Eddie Lacy?
Should be good.
Sure.
Jacksonville.
Or DeJuan Harris.
New Orleans has Pittsburgh, Carolina, Chicago, and Atlanta. So they have a favorable schedule.
It's good for Mark Ingram if he lasts that long.
The Jets, Chris Ivory, has Tennessee, New England in weeks 15 and 16. Pittsburgh gets Cincinnati and Atlanta in that stretch. There's St. Louis. They're okay. And Tampa Bay. So I think Lacy and Ingram really stood out to me. Any thoughts?
I think if you look at those guys, if they're playing well, and this goes for people with bad schedules, which I'm sure you're going to get to too.
No, not this week. Oh. Ran out of time.
You look at, if you have Jamal Charles, let's just say he has a bad schedule. Or Marshawn Lynch. You say the Seahawks have a bad schedule. Marshawn Lynch. Let's say Lynch from this point forward is amazing till week 13. But you know that schedule's coming up. Are you starting Ingram or Lynch?
I want to know what Ingram's going to be. I mean, it looks like Ingram could be the steal of the draft right now, or the steal of free agency, the way he's played in every game except for Detroit. Right?
Sure.
He's been so good.
That's a tough matchup.
You know, I wouldn't, like right now, I wouldn't hesitate to start him over Marshawn Lynch.
This week?
I mean, I know Lynch has Oakland, so I wouldn't mind it either way, mm-hmm. but I don't know.
Knowing
Ingram's
that Ingram
so
is
good.
Coming off
and
a lot
only
of work.
That, you guys watched the game on Sunday night. How good did he look?
He looked great.
He looked sleek. He looked the best
he's
that
looked,
I've ever seen.
He's
him.
Looked that way like ever since the preseason.
Exactly.
Do you start him over Le'Veon Bell this week?
Definitely not in PPR. I don't think I could bench Le'Veon Bell. What about you?
Yeah, I would.
You'd start him over Bell?
Mm-hmm.
Bell did okay against Pittsburgh. In
yeah,
two,
he had
right?
like 110, 112, some total yards.
Right. All right, and tight ends
against
that have...
Pittsburgh?
Did I say Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Against Baltimore. Intra-squad.
I'm laughing because how many times you called receivers running backs?
Yeah.
Or the other way around?
When?
On Friday's podcast?
Yeah.
He kept saying, are you calling running backs receivers?
I think so.
See, it's not that easy.
And
it's
what
tough.
What do you keep saying? RW?
Yeah, RW too. All right, here are tight ends that have good matchups in the playoffs. Cleveland's tight end. Dallas's tight end. Detroit's tight end. I know who all these guys are. I don't know why I'm not saying their names. Houston's tight end.
Well, no, I think it's actually better because they're not really a standout option.
Right.
Yeah.
Among them.
How about Zach Ertz?
How about him?
Okay, Zach, this is awesome, actually. At Dallas, then Seattle at home, then Dallas in weeks 13, 14, and 15.
So we'll have 5 for 60, 4 for 35.
He might get one touchdown in that three games.
Dude, how pathetic was that? They threw the ball like 60 times.
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything.
If you had told me that Nick Foles was going to throw 62 times, I would have said start Zach Ertz and the Cardinals DST.
Vernon Davis faces Seattle twice and Oakland. Delanie Walker, I like this. Delanie Walker is the Giants in Week 14, the Jets in Week 15, and the Jaguars in Week 16.
Not bad.
He scored last week, right?
He did.
And Washington.
Most fantasy points against the Texans this year?
Washington, I don't really know. I'm hoping that RG3 helps Jordan Reed. They have Indianapolis in Week 13 and the Giants in Week 15.
You know what Jay Gruden did? He brought the Bengals with him to Washington.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying. But... yeah, I guess that's true. But Niles Paul was really good when Jordan Reed was out.
Niles Paul is Jermaine
healthy.
Gresham because he's a better blocker. And Jordan Reed is Tyler Eifert.
Should we do stats that matter or grade the trade? Oh, we can do both. We have time.
Do we?
Yeah.
Good.
Stats that matter. I just was digging, found some things that I thought were interesting. Andrew Luck leads the NFL with 43.4 pass attempts per game. He threw 39 passes per game in 2012, but only 35.6 last year. So he's up a lot. Who is number two in the NFL in pass attempts per game?
Is it Palmer?
No, he's like number four, I think.
It can't be Peyton.
Could it be Nick Foles?
You got it.
Oh, 62, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say Flacco.
Yeah, Flacco had a 60 burger.
It's in Luck, Foles, Breeze, no, Palmer, Ryan, Roethlisberger, Stafford, Cutler, Manning, Carr, Tannehill, Orton, Brady, Flacco.
Really?
Yeah.
So, again,
Foles,
how does that
two.
Matter?
You don't think that matters?
It matters, but...
You guys were talking about Nick Foles so on Sunday night, and I don't know if you gave... If, Dave, you gave him enough respect, because he didn't play that well if you watched the game.
Yes,
but he had over
right.
400 yards and 25 fantasy points.
Yeah, he got to 25 fantasy points. It was one of his better games this year, and he still looked shaky. He needed every one of those 62 attempts to get there.
Right. So what and do you guys think Jeremy about Macklin. Him going forward, knowing that even with the 62 pass attempt, like he's still throwing a lot. Even without that, he'd still be pretty high in the pass attempt rankings. So I like that trend. What do you think about Foles?
He's all right. If the offensive line was going to be better and healthier, then I would be all about him. But we know that Todd Herman's with the torn bicep. I don't see him being on the field very long. I want to love him. I do because I love Chip Kelly and what the offense is. But teams are just going to keep bringing pressure on him. He's going to keep going backwards, throwing off the back foot, and that's when you're going to see mistakes. And that's been happening game after game.
Yep.
Foles or Roethlisberger rest of season?
Roethlisberger.
I think I have to say Big Ben.
Foles or Eli rest of season?
I might say Eli there too.
I'll take Foles because I think Eli is going to have some games where missing Cruz is going to come back to haunt him.
DeMarco Murray is on pace for 320 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. That would be the most since 2009 with Chris Johnson at 328. And to compare, Jamaal Charles had 293 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues last year. So he was obviously amazing, but DeMarco Murray is on pace to really crush him, 27 more fantasy points.
On pace is a nice word.
Why?
Because he's got to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. In PPR leagues, Matt Forte and Arian Foster are both averaging more fantasy points per game than Murray. What do you think about that?
Forte and who?
Foster.
They're playing great.
They're all elite level fantasy running backs.
All right, now, what do you think about
if
this,
you had to
Dave?
Rank them for the rest of the season, would Murray even be second?
Well, he wouldn't be first.
I think he'd be third out of those three because
in
you're
PPR?
Worried about the injury.
Yeah, in PPR.
What about standard between those three?
He'd be first.
I'd take him second.
I might take him third.
I mean, the fact that Chicago has a bye week really does. Oh, but he still has his bye coming up.
DeMarco Murray. Yeah, right.
You know who I keep thinking of with DeMarco Murray? And this is going to sound weird. Troy Tulowitzki. Because he got through so much of the season without an injury, and I was so afraid to draft him because he's always injured. And for a while, I looked really stupid because he was amazing. And he got hurt, like he always does. And I felt vindicated.
But don't you feel like Murray kind of eclipsed that last year? I know he missed the two games, but...
You mean got over it?
Yeah, but if they were running him 20 times a game, I'd be okay with it. But they give him like 28 carries, usually.
How do you think he's looked during games?
The thing with him with the 28 carries, though, it's a little different when you're running into a pile and getting a lot of guys landing on you. It's a little different when you're getting chased from behind.
I get it. I'm still saying he gets hurt. How about you?
Well, obviously, there should be more to your favor in that statement because there's a better history of him being hurt than being healthy. At some point, though, guys break through.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I know he's great, but...
And it could be a special year for him, and I'm pretty sure that next year we'll
say... It's a contract year for him?
Right.
But even though it's been a great year, like, the other two guys, Foster and Forte, have also been freaking great.
Right.
So it's not like you're losing that much.
Here's what you... If you've got DeMarco Murray, do the right thing. Handcuff him to Joseph Randle, and I think you've got to take another step, because I don't love Randle. I think you've got to find another running back to stash in case you don't want to go with Randle, and just have that depth for the potentially... for the potential injury to DeMarco Murray.
How about this stat? Giovanni Bernard has 2 catches or fewer in 4 of his last 5 games.
He has 1 good play in his last 3 or 4. And without that good play, which was an 81-yard touchdown where it was almost caught from behind, he would be very disappointing. And he did score last week and, you know, fine, 2 plays the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Sure. But that offense is going to change dramatically when they get their best player back on the field. I just traded for Gio yesterday. I traded Brandon Oliver and Dwayne Allen, which are 2 keeper-eligible guys.
Oh, keeper league?
Yeah. So those guys will count as round 13 or later. And the person who traded for them is buying into Oliver being the starting running
right,
back
yeah.
for San Diego next year. And tight ends. It's a PPR league, so Dwayne Allen could have some value as Andrew Luck's, you know, one of his main guys.
That's what I'm talking about. I just... can't see Brandon Oliver being the starting running back.
No, I see them bringing somebody else in.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously somewhat of a gamble, but if he is a starter next year, round 13 is pretty good value.
All right, how about this? Brandon Marshall and Ruben Randle both rank in the top 5 in red zone targets with 14 and 13 respectively.
Marshall had 4 last week.
Did he? Wow.
0 for 4.
He's caught 5 touchdowns. 3 of them came against San Francisco. Randall's only caught 2. Another thing that caught my eye, Brandon Marshall has only 1 catch over 20 yards this season. Last year, he had 10 games with at least 1 catch over 20 yards. What are you seeing from Brandon Marshall?
He should get traded to Tampa Bay where he gets reunited with Josh McCown, and his career takes off from there.
I'm looking at Demaryius Thomas and Andre Ellington. After the bye week, they came back and looked a lot better, and I'm wondering if Marshall's still hurt, maybe looks better next week.
It's possible.
That would be nice. I'm sure they're going to spend a lot of time holding hands and singing Kumbaya, him and Cutler and Trestman, and trying to figure out what the problems are. I think he's a great buy-low candidate.
Is it clear that Alshon Jeffrey has passed him?
I think so. I think he's the more explosive receiver of the two.
And what do you think about Ruben Randle? I can't get over the fact that he's so targeted and the production just hasn't been there. Is it still to come, or is he just not that great? What do you think?
He's not, Pete Prisco likes to say sometimes when you're the guy, you don't always play like the guy because the attention gets a little bit tougher. Like the 2 examples I know that we've talked about on Fantasy Football Today, Jordan Cameron, which I think is pretty evident that, a lot of things at play there with him, health and quarterback and all those things. But I don't think as a tight end he's ready to be the number one guy in a receiving corps. And Ruben Randle in his 3rd year where he didn't play a ton his first 2 years, played a little bit more 2nd year than his 1st year. Now all of a sudden he's had to be the guy, number one outside guy, now number one guy in general. So,
right, and the thing is, but even before Cruz got hurt, Jamie, he was still getting 9, 10 targets
every
game.
What I'm saying is number one outside guy.
Yeah.
So he stepped up into the Hakeem Nicks role as, that's supposed to be the big play threat for them.
Just so many red zone targets. I just wonder if...
There'll be a game where he clicks. There'll be a game where he'll catch 2 of them.
Could be this week.
Very good. Very well could.
And Randall Cobb is the most productive red zone wide receiver in the NFL. He has 12 targets, 9 catches, and 7 touchdowns. Top 5 wide
He's
receiver.
He's awesome.
9 touchdowns, already a career high for Randall Cobb. Do you consider him a top 5 wide receiver?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Would you rather have Cobb or Julio rest of season?
Cobb.
At this point, Cobb.
Yeah. All right.
Can I take the Packers offensive line?
Sure. grade the trade.
I made a trade for Randall Cobb a few weeks ago that I got a lot of flack for on Twitter, which I couldn't be happier with. I traded Julius Thomas and Percy Harvin for Randall Cobb and Golden Tate.
Wow.
And I got so much bleep for
That was your 10-team league.
That was our Foxborough league.
Right.
Where I drafted Jimmy Graham and Julius Thomas. And so, at the time, Percy was still playing well for Seattle, moderately well. and Julius was the best tight end in the NFL.
Grade the trade. That's an A, by the way, Jamie.
Thank you.
A plus. From Justin. He says, "Dear Straw, Sticks, and Bricks, I'll let you decide who's who."
David B. Bricks.
Aw.
Yeah, I agree. So who's Straw and who's Sticks?
You're Sticks. I'm Straw.
Okay. These are two trades here. Standard scoring. Give Martellus Bennett, get Rashad Jennings.
It's fine.
See.
Dave?
It's fine.
Which Rashad Jennings are you getting, though?
Yeah. He should be good.
He should be good. I like that they're going to give him another week.
This was such a my biggest fear coming into the season with him.
Him holding up.
Yeah. I mean, never done it before.
However, where'd he go? Like round 4 or 5, something like that?
Yeah.
If he misses 3 games, then
he's got to play well the rest of the way.
With as well as he's played. Yeah, right. If he keeps that up and he misses 3 games, he's probably all right with his drive value.
One dud?
Yeah, the Washington game where he dropped a touchdown. Could have been a big game. All right, and give DeMarco Murray, get Ronnie Hillman and Jeremy Maclin.
I don't mind that.
That's a B.
I give it an A.
Here's one from Harry Dunn, which is a character from Dumb and Dumber, Jeff Daniels. And he addresses us as John Deere. You know, one of those John Deere letters. Grade the trade, giving up Carson Palmer and Ahmad Bradshaw. Palmer and Bradshaw getting Rivers and Vereen.
Palmer and Bradshaw getting Rivers and Vereen.
Pretty even, right?
It's close to even, but I think is it a PPR or a standard?
Doesn't say.
It's even.
It's basically C.
From Kyle from Mattawan, New Jersey. Grade the trade, PPR. Give Ellington, get McKinnon and Emmanuel Sanders. Or give Ellington, get McKinnon and Sammy Watkins. So first of all, who'd you rather have?
Either one's an A. I think I'd rather have Sanders and McKinnon.
Much rather have Sanders, just because of the rookie uncertainty at times. But yeah, that's an A.
Is it really?
That's an A.
Because you think you're going to get something from
you
McKinnon?
Will get way more fantasy points with both of those two guys.
Yeah,
compared to the
I mean, you're getting two starters from
Ellington.
Okay. What if it were just look, Ellington just, for Sanders straight up?
Hey.
Yeah, that's fine.
You'd rather have Sanders?
Yeah, I think just what Sanders could bring. Look, prior to the last 2 weeks, their touchdown potential was the same.
Right.
And now Sanders is scoring. He's going to totally blow Ellington away.
Yeah.
Now Ellington does.
I mean, Ellington's a running back, and he's got – I didn't realize this until just now. He's gotten over 20 carries 2 weeks in a row.
Well, yeah and I was going to say, the thing that sways in Ellington's favor, if you're looking at it that way, is without Taylor in there, they're probably going to give Ellington the goal line work.
He's really good in PPR.
Oh, he's amazing.
So I don't know if it's a slam dunk. But
yeah, but it's not like Emmanuel Sanders isn't good in PPR.
Yeah, I know. I just running back. But okay. From Benjamin, grade the trade, 12-team, half-point PPR. Give Drew Brees and Julius Thomas.
Woo.
Hey.
That's weird.
There you go. Get Nick Foles, Emmanuel Sanders, and Ahmad Bradshaw. Woo.
F.
It's probably closer than you think.
No, it's an F. Quarterback downgrade. Potential injury risk at running back.
He needs the help at running back.
Right, he desperately needs the help. He's got Sproles, Bell, and Taliaferro.
So just trade one of the two guys of Brees or Thomas.
He's got Palmer.
He could get away with offering Brees straight up for Bradshaw.
Who's the other tight end?
Witten.
Ugh.
That's what he should do.
Yeah.
He should offer Brees for Bradshaw.
God, well, I mean, you're going from a running back problem to a tight end problem.
Right.
Brees for Bradshaw.
And you're going
Brees
to a quarterback Bradshaw, problem. Then
he's got Carson
Palmer. He's got Palmer and Foles.
So do Palmer and something else to get Bradshaw.
I'd rather just get rid of Brees.
Why?
Sell high on Brees, get Bradshaw on your team, and move on.
Why?
Because he's going to have to give Palmer and is that Joik Bell? Does he really solve the problem if he's moving from Joik Bell to Ahmad Bradshaw?
No, but maybe you can do Palmer and Witten if the other guy needs a quarterback, if he's not sold on Foles and needs a tight end.
He definitely needs another quarterback. I think Brees for Bradshaw is fine.
You would really make that trade?
If I had Palmer as a backup,
gosh,
and I needed
wish
a running back
in the league
that
where
bad?
We had those same players.
I hope Drew Brees doesn't do that well this week because I am going to buy so low on him if possible. Because after this week, he's got two outdoor games for the rest of the season, until week 17. Then he's outdoors in week 17. But I just, the only thing that's been missing have been touchdown passes. But Drew Brees is throwing for 300-plus yards pretty much every game, and a lot of times it's like 340-plus yards.
Yeah.
He looks like Drew Brees. So if he doesn't do well at Carolina because he's not so great outdoors, I'd understand that. But then San Francisco, Cincinnati, Baltimore at home.
He was missing Jimmy Graham for, what, 2.5 games?
Right. If Graham gets healthy.
1.5 games?
I think he could easily be Drew Brees again. Rodgers was kind of struggling after the Detroit game, and he was Rodgers again after that. So, all right. That's it. We're done. Thank you, guys.
You here tomorrow?
I am here tomorrow. Are you happy about that? That means you have to... Never mind. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.